Amen. Well, today is the day the Lord has made. It's a good day to get in the Word of God. Before we go to the Word, let's pray. Jesus, we come to You and we say, we're desperate for You. We need You. How we need You every moment, every day, every breath we take. Jesus, we need You. Lord, I thank You that You have given us all we need for life and godliness. I thank You that we have You, Holy Spirit, to indwell in us, to lead us and to guide us into all things, into fullness of life in Christ Jesus. We're here today for You. Teach us, change us for Your glory, Jesus. And in Your name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, I want to start this message a little differently today. Let's start by running a video.
In Matthew chapter 6, it says, who by worrying can add to their life?
Pandemic.
Do not worry about tomorrow. Pagans run after these things.
National emergency.
Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Ice sheets are melting so fast.
Latest missile launch.
An interesting fact about humanity is that whatever you feed grows.
A financial pandemic.
If you feed your faith, it grows. If you feed your fears, they grow.
It's all spiraled very quickly.
It's going to get worse.
Some have to live and some have to die.
Realize that our time is better spent talking to the Father than getting all worked up and reading and feeding our minds with the news and the media about what everybody is saying about how this is doom and gloom and how money, which we have hoped in, is lost. Hope not in money. Hope in your Father, your God, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Have your faith and use it. Walk according to it. Whatever you feed grows. This is the time to press into the church, lean into the church, to be surrounded by God's people. We can offer prayers for one another. We can offer hope to one another. We can speak words of truth to one another. If you feast on the Word of God and you renew your minds around the truth, your faith, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you go to the news and you read article after article after quote after talking head and you continue to feed those fears, they grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Whatever you feed grows. Today, did you wake up this morning and feast on the Word of God and go to Him in prayer? Or did you feed your fears?
Well, this morning we're going to feed on the Word of God. That's just what we do around here. We feed on the Word of God. In fact, last week we continued our line-by-line journey through the Sermon on the Mount. We ended up taking a crash course in investment strategies. That's right. The Bible has investment strategies. Our teacher last week was none other than the Son of God. We learned to invest like Jesus. We learned how to invest in the eternal. Did you get excited about the prospects of this kind of investment strategy? Did you take stock? See what I did there? Did you take stock of your life? Did you make some adjustments? Did you step out in faith and maybe do a portfolio rebalance, a lifestyle rebalance? Or did you find yourself saying, investing like Jesus? It sounds great, but if I do what Jesus says, if I invest in eternity, what am I supposed to do about what I need today, what I need tomorrow, what I need next year? If I lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth, how will I provide for the real needs I have right here and right now? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to bring home the bacon? How can I keep from worrying about these very real things, especially in the middle of this COVID-19 upheaval? The opportunities to worry are off the charts. Well, this week I was reminded of a story that I once heard. It goes like this. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside of us. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego. The other wolf in us is good. It's joy and peace and love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, gentleness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a minute. And then he asked his grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Now, hang with me here. This story might just be a Cherokee legend, but for a Christian, this story could be an illustration of our conflict and struggle between the two natures, the old and the new nature. Romans 8 lays it out. We can either live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. And which nature we feed is going to win. Jesus pointed out to us in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, "But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." So again, we see two options. The enemy serves up lies while the Lord serves up truth. The enemy serves up worry while the Lord serves up peace. The enemy wants to steal our joy, and that joy that we found in Christ, just rip it out of us, right? He wants to kill off the peace of God in our lives. The enemy wants to destroy the amazing plans that God has for us. And yes, here's the deal. One of the primary weapons used by the enemy to accomplish all of this, it's called worry. That's right, good old-fashioned worry with a capital W. The enemy knows that if he can get us to embrace a lifestyle of worry, then he can get us to walk away from a lifestyle of faith. He can get us to forfeit the blessings of living life to the full. The great missionary George Mueller tells us that the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. It's a good word. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of anxiety getting in the way of my life. So today we're going to take some action. We're going to get in the Word of God. We're going to look at the red letters right here in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to take some action, and this is how we roll, man. We open up Scripture. We grab the sword, and we turn the words of Jesus on. We listen to these words. We trust, and we learn how to win the war on worry. That's the title of today's message, Win the War on Worry. Let's go. I'm diving right into the message today. I believe that Jesus shows us that the war on worry is won by implementing a two-phase campaign involving trust and pursuit. Trust and pursuit. Winning starts with trusting God, number one. Winning starts with trusting God. How do we win the war on worry? We trust God. Specifically, we trust God's providence, His sovereignty. What do I mean by providence? Well, it said that divine providence is the governance of God by which He with wisdom and love cares for and directs all things in the universe. In other words, do we really trust that God cares for us and that He can and will provide for us? Let's see what Jesus has to say to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, go to Matthew 6, beginning of verse 25. Matthew 6, beginning of verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, Oh, you have little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Amen. The words of Jesus. Here's how it kind of sounds in my head. This is the Pastor Eric paraphrase, if you will. If you really understood how much God truly loves you, then you would completely trust Him, and worry would not be a part of your life. There you go. Getting it right down, plain and simple, right there. I mean, check this out. Jesus told us that God cares for birds. So this message today is for the birds. That was a joke. Anyway, God cares for birds. God supplies everything the birds need. The birds don't worry about their next meal. Speaking of birds, hey, check this out. Every year, a woodpecker shows up at my house and pecks holes in my stucco. I'm serious. I'm being serious right now. This is not a joke. It's the real deal. Believe me, ask my kids, ask my wife. This is no joke. It's not a laughing matter in the Jones house. Every year that woodpecker shows up, it's like they passed it down through the woodpecker generations. They're like, hey, young woodpecker, when you grow up, go to Pastor Eric's house and peck holes in his stucco. Anyway. All right. So I'm thinking, with that woodpecker, let me tell you how I think sometimes. I apply the word of God to it. And so I'm thinking, can't God help these woodpeckers meet their needs elsewhere? Why my house, right? Why my house? Anyway, I'm going to get back to the words of Jesus, red letters right here in our Bible, back to Jesus. Jesus takes us then from birds, saying that God takes care of birds. He takes us then from birds to non-breathing vegetation. And He tells us that God even cares for the grass of the fields, and He clothes the grass in beauty. And so birds and grass, they don't worry because God cares for them. Yet we, people made in the image of God, we worry. We get all anxious about whether we have enough. We stress out about our finances. And then because we're stressed out with worry, we react in fear, which launches us into spending our time, our energy, our talents, and our peace of mind trying to make it happen, trying to get her done as we strive to have all of our ducks in a row, every base covered. Contingency plan after contingency plan. We got this. Come on, I got this. How's that working out for everybody? How's that working out for you? For most, what happens? Our joy is stolen in the process. Our peace fades away. Our time in God's presence is destroyed, and our anxiety goes through the roof. So here's a word from the Lord for you, for all of us right now. Seriously, this is a word from the Lord because it's right here in the Bible. We just read it, right? The word is this: stop the insanity. Stop it. Stop it. It's time to remember who you are and who God is. I think we need to take a trip back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. Turn with me to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis. By the way, this is Genesis. It's the official record of creation. Somebody amen me on that? The official record of creation right here in Genesis. And what do we discover in this official record of creation? What we discover is that God created our provision before He even created us. Did you hear that? In the beginning, God knew what we would need. He provided it. And He still knows what we need even today. Yes, God, the creator of the universe, knows what you need. And He is fully capable of taking care of your needs. Come on. Do we really understand that all the things God created, they're beautiful, but we are the most beautiful? We are the most valuable to Him? We're the only things created in His image? And then when God finished creating us, He said, "It's very good." That's what I'm talking about, right? God was pleased. Look, we were created by God to spend eternity with Him and to enjoy Him forever. And even after mankind, after we messed it up and we introduced sin, God didn't give up on us, turn his back on us. In fact, God values us so much that he launched the world's greatest, most epic rescue mission ever. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, on a mission to redeem us, to restore us by his blood. This is why our understanding of God, of God's love, and our understanding of creation as presented in the Word of God, in the book of Genesis, is so important. Because creation, how God created us and why he created us, displays the sanctity of human life. Human life, I'm talking about your life. Your life is sacred to God. It's of utmost value to him. And when we understand this truth, our faith rises up. Those holes that the world has poked in us, they get filled with the love of God and with purpose. There's this thing called evolution. Maybe you've heard of it. I wish you haven't. But it's all over our schools, right? Evolution. And then there's other world's ways of explaining life. They're all distortions of this truth. And these distortions, they leave people feeling worthless, without purpose, without value. And so is it any wonder that so many people are so worried, to the point of depression, to the point of drugs and alcohol addictions, and even suicide? The issue, it's a wrong identity. It's a wrong understanding of their value. People need to know, you need to know, that you were created by God and that you're valuable. You're deeply loved by your Creator. And when you're secure in this truth of God's love for you and the value that He places on you, the worries, the cares of this life, they start to fade away. Jesus also points out another reality. Worrying never adds to our lives. Instead, worry takes away from our lives. Verse 27, he said, what? Tomorrow's going to come, right? Tomorrow will come, not because of worry, but because of God's grace. Again, tomorrow's going to come, not because we worried about it, but simply because of God's grace. Here's the other thing about worry. It pulls us away from the Lord. You know, the word for worry in the original Greek language actually means distracted. In other words, anxiety and worry about the cares of this world will actually distract us from the more important things in life, the eternal things, like Martha, right? Check out what Jesus tells Martha. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried. The actual word is you are distracted and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, which is time with her Savior, right? And Jesus continues, and it will not be taken away from her. The cure for worry. Cure for worry is trust. Trust in the sovereignty. Trust in the providence of God. Trust in the goodness of God. Trust in the love of God. But here's the deal. Trust without pursuit, it won't win the war. Let me say that again. Trust without pursuit isn't going to win the war. It's not going to get it done. It's not going to get it done. You see, the promise of God's providence, of his goodness, is conditioned upon our willingness to make God number one. It's going to lead us to the second strategy for winning the war on worry. The second strategy, pursuing God, making God's will our number one priority. Let me tell a story. Massena, one of Napoleon's generals, he suddenly appeared with, I think it was about 18,000 soldiers, right at this Austrian town, pretty small town actually, and this town had no means of defending itself. The town council met, certain that surrender was the only answer. The old dean of the church, he reminded the council that it was Easter, and he begged them to hold services as usual to leave the troubles in God's hands. They followed his advice that Sunday morning. The dean went to the church, and he rang the church bells to announce the beginning of the service. the French soldiers, they heard the church bells ringing, and they concluded that the Austrian army had come to rescue the town. And so they broke camp before the bells had even ceased ringing. They vanished. What happened? In the middle of the battle, in the middle of a time when things looked bleak, in the midst of danger, this Austrian town rejected worry, and instead, because of trust, they pursued God. Let's listen to Jesus. Back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33 says, "But seek first God's kingdom," His kingdom, "and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. That's for sure, right? What's the key to winning this war? It's the pursuit of the things of God. Did you hear what Jesus said? How do we win the war on worry? We pursue the things of God. We pursue the will of God. It's the pursuit of God Himself that brings us the victory over worry and anxiety. How do we pursue God? Here's just a few ways I'm going to throw out here. We can serve God by serving God instead of money. We studied that last week, right? Serve God instead of money. How do we serve God? How do we pursue God? We pursue Him by laying up treasures in heaven, by using our earthly treasure, time, talent, resources to help others, to build the kingdom, to advance the kingdom of God. How do we do this? How do we pursue God? By being more concerned about our neighbor's salvation than about what we even eat, by what we wear, and by where we live, right? How do we pursue God, the things of God, the will of God? By valuing and making time with God more important than anything or anyone else. I mean, that's a serious statement. That's how we pursue God. That's how we pursue His will and accomplish His will, by making Him number one. Does God get our first and our best? It's always a good question to ask. Maybe every week you need to look back and go, did God get my first and my best? Maybe not in this area. But you know what? By His grace, He's given me another week. I'm going to recalibrate here just a little bit, because He's worthy of my first and my best. You know, Jesus promises us that when we seek first His kingdom, that God will provide for all our physical needs. And He's able to do this. He's God, right? And He's willing to provide for all of our needs. That's astounding. Finally, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus tells us in verse 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." Chuck Swindoll said it this way. He said, "Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine." Don't you hate it when tomorrow's cloud, because of worry, just totally eclipses the joy, the sunshine, the blessing that God has for you right now? I'm sick of that happening in my life. I don't want to put up with that. I don't have to put up with that. I'm a child of God. And Jesus, He's given me the strategy for winning that war. Here's the deal, church. We're not even capable of handling tomorrow's worries. Who do we think we are? We're going to make it all happen and fix everything tomorrow. We're not capable. And when we try to handle tomorrow's worries, we find ourselves where? In despair. We have no control over the future, and worrying about the future only distracts us from the mission of the present and from the blessings of the present. Another saying that I found this week goes like this. It says, "Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles." That's a mouthful. Unfortunately, it's true. So look, while encouraging us to store up treasures in heaven, putting our treasures and our investments in eternity, Jesus also saw the kingdom as present and at hand. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, records Jesus preaching these words. Let's check them out. Verse 31 says, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And then he says in verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He has given us the kingdom. God has given us the kingdom. In other words, we don't need to worry because God's kingdom is right here and right now, and our Heavenly Father has given it to us. God is sharing His kingdom. He's sharing His inheritance with us, His children, right here and right now. And God doesn't reluctantly share His kingdom with us. He doesn't do it only because He made a promise that He now regrets. No. Jesus said that God is pleased. He's delighted to give us the kingdom. In other words, it's the Father's joy. It's His abundant pleasure to bestow upon us His kingdom. He's been waiting for all eternity to do this. And now He's overjoyed to do it. I expect that the Father's more overjoyed to grant us His entire kingdom than we are even to receive it. God, open up our eyes. God, open up our eyes to what it is that You have for us. God, open up our eyes. Your kingdom come, Your will be done right here on earth, in our lives, in our time as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord. And so, with this understanding, I want to make the point that faith opens the floodgates of heaven and releases God's kingdom, while worry closes them. Let me say it again. Faith opens the floodgates of heaven, worry closes them. Y'all ready to pray? God, we come to You right now. Lord, we come to You and we say that we need You. Every hour, every moment, we need You. God, I just ask that You would even forgive me. Forgive us, Lord, for those times when we have worried, when we have allowed worry to creep in and take over our lives, our thoughts. Lord, even right now, I just release my past to You. I release my present to You, and with great joy, I release my future to You, God. Even just say that. Just come into agreement with that right now. Just say, God, I give You my future. God, I give You my tomorrow. I give You my next week. I give You my next breath, God. I give You my future, Lord. I trust You. You created me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You love me. You know me better than I know myself, God. You know my needs. You know my mission, God. You created me for a purpose, God. So I trust You with my future. And I choose to not worry. To not worry. To not worry. I choose to trust. I choose to obey. And I choose to enjoy You, God. Can you say amen to that, church? Amen. Amen.